Welcome to episode 2 of the Country Cooks Podcast. Welcome to the Country Cooking Podcast. It's Bill West. I'm with BarbecueTricks.com, also with Nash FM Radio here in Charleston, South Carolina. Today, we talk to another Nash FM superstar. It is Kix Brooks, and he's got something special in the works we get to announce here in just a matter of moments. Plus, of course, you hear him on the radio every weekend, and also the winner of multiple. I was actually shocked to see 26 ACMs, 17 CMA awards, a couple of Grammys. Kix Brooks knows his music, but today we're talking about food, country cooking, and what Kix Brooks has in the works. I'm in the studios of Nash FM Charleston here, and also kind of in the studios of Nash in Nashville as well with our guest today, Kix Brooks, who's the host of American Country Countdown, Kicking It with Kix, and also Steakout on the Cooking Channel, which I've been a real fan of, talking about food. I first was triggered to talk to Kix about Steakout, but now I'm finding all these different connections with food. Kix Brooks, hello.
How's it going?
It's going great. So tell me about where you got connected with food in the beginning. What's your food story?
Well, I got hungry one day.
Right.
And I was really inspired to eat. You know, the short answer is I'm from Louisiana, and I guess probably everybody that's into cooking has some story about where they come from. But, you know, the way I grew up, it was, we were always had some pot of something cooking. And we were fishing and we were hunting and we were cooking what we were catching and shooting in the woods, no matter what it was. And it's even more extreme in South Louisiana. I'm from North Louisiana, but it's hard not to be in that state and not grow up around a grill or a big pot of something going on. And it's funny because it's such a part of lifestyle as well. You know, you're always hooking up with your friends. It's like, why don't y'all come over? And it's not, let's come over and watch a movie or let's go do this or that. It's, what are we cooking? You know, and there was never anything chefy or frivolous or anything about cooking. Cooking was like a sport like football. You know, if you didn't know how to cook growing up in Louisiana, you were lame. So it just kind of goes with the territory, I guess, is the short answer.
Who was the big cook in your family?
Well, really, my grandfather was really a good cook and could cook anything too. But, you know, we just, everybody kind of did it. My dad and I had what's called a country kitchen. And when I say my dad and I, we both took ownership in it, but, it was, we had a big, like a big brick, when I say big, probably 5 by 8, about 3 feet high, that had burners all in it. So you could be boiling shrimp and frying fish and frying potatoes, had 3 burners in there. And then next to it, we built like a little brick, smokehouse. And it was about the same size, with a hood, a little roof on it. And you could put slabs or ribs in there and whatever. And it was not uncommon at all, especially on the weekend, for me to have 20 or 30 of my friends over, you know, just partying, fishing, doing it all. But lunch and dinner, there was always a big something cooking, smoking, frying, boiling, whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, I'm here in Charleston. I like to call this like the birthplace of barbecue. But really, there's kind of a barbecue thing going on in Louisiana then, from what you're describing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, barbecue is a big word, whatever that means.
Right.
Because, you know, having traveled back and forth across America for about 20 years, everybody's got their barbecue and everybody's got their steak. That's what inspired me to do that steakhouse show, because you roll off a tour bus, you go, where do you get a good steak around here? And everybody's got a story. and this place and a story about the place and then what kind of steaks they make and whatever. I'm like, God, you know, you'd think there's only one kind of steak, but barbecue's the same way. With Tennessee barbecue in Louisiana, you get barbecue. It comes in a thick barbecue sauce and whatever. You got to roll up your sleeves and stuff's going all down both your arms and you're just, it's just delicious, but it's a lot of stuff. First time I got barbecue in Tennessee, it's kind of like in Carolina that some of the barbecue I've had, you know, it comes with more of a vinegar kind of sauce or whatever. Now, in Charleston, you may be sloppier like we are in Louisiana.
Yeah, mustard.
Yeah, okay, see. And in Texas, you know, you used to talk about barbecue. Well, you're talking about brisket and whatever like that. You know, generally, it's not like pulled pork. Not that you can't get it down there, but for them, it's all about chickens and brisket and that kind of thing. So it's, yeah, Memphis, obviously, you got wet ribs, you got dry ribs. Everybody's got their own take on this.
So when it comes to Louisiana cooking in particular, are you a fan of Justin Wilson? He's like one of my favorites.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. He was great. Yeah, you put some wine in that. And they say, what kind of wine you use? I say, what kind you got?
When it comes to, when I think of the Cajun cooking kind of stuff, I think of him and, it's funny, I was just looking at the late Pat Conroy, just had funeral services for him over the weekend, but one of my favorite cookbooks is his cookbook where he really makes it, I mean, he's an incredible writer, but he really makes it about South Carolina and all the food we have here. I always kind of thought of Justin Wilson kind of the same way. Now, I hear you have got a cookbook coming out. What is that?
I do.
What's that going to be like?
Well, it's, you know, it's sort of the what I've been talking about. And it's kind of, it's more about celebrating cooking. It's not a foodie cookbook. And by that, I mean, you know, I've been to a lot of restaurants where you have a, you know, something on your plate the size of a pencil eraser, and it's got 18 exotic flavors in it, and you're trying to pair it with four different kinds of wine. And, you know, that's all cool, and it's interesting, and I've had a lot of enjoyable evenings eating exotic foods, but this isn't about that. This is about cooking, and you can do this, and it's not just 101 boiling water. It's got some really fun recipes that, you know, that are a little deeper in the cooking scene. But it is about, this is, cooking is something you invite all your friends over and you can do whatever, but it's a social event. It's the same reason I got into wine, and not to, you know, tout this, but I have my own winery, and I think a lot of people are intimidated by how to pair wines and food and that kind of thing. So this book gets into that as well. Because you shouldn't be intimidated by any of it. You know, it's something that you should really just jump in with both feet and enjoy, and you're not going to screw this up. And, you know, don't be afraid to buy three packages of chicken. It's not that expensive. And try doing different things for dinner. And you go, I like this. But, you know, if we did a little more of this, it'd be fun. And it's sort of about, you know, get into it, teach yourself. Learn from here's a few basic tips. Here's how you do this. So it's not rocket science. It really is something you should get in your backyard and have fun with.
I see it says family recipes alongside some of your personal stories. Is there one like recipe that you're really excited to get out there and get in the book that comes to mind?
Gosh, just you asking that question, I would probably say red beans and rice. But it's funny. I lived in New Orleans for about a year before I came to Nashville, and Monday was red beans and rice day. And at all the restaurants around New Orleans, everybody had their version of red beans and rice. And my version is pretty, I won't say complicated. It's got a lot of stuff in it, and a lot of, you know, basic red beans and rice is really beans, a little couple of slices of pepperoni. You know, it's got some certain flavors in it, and you put it on rice, and it's just kind of an easy, cheap, tasty thing to do. And my recipe has a lot of stuff in it. It has five or six different kinds of sausage and meats and whatever. It takes a good 3 days. Our house smells like red beans and rice for 3 or 4 days when we do this. But it's a family recipe that is fun to share, and it's something I usually do for Super Bowl or something like that, where I got a bunch of people coming over and I got a huge pot full of this stuff.
Oh, I gotta get the. I'm ready to get the recipe right now. I'm looking forward to the book. Apparently, I think the plan is right now August 30th, and the title, "Cooking It with Kicks." The art of celebrating
right.
and the fun of outdoor cooking. Let me, you know what? You actually are kind of one of my connections to one of the things that I love, Nashville hot chicken.
Oh, man, yeah.
And actually, I was at a party. I guess it was you and Ron. It must have been at Ronnie's barn for mm-hmm. a country radio seminar. And I discovered that they must have had it in from one of the places in Nashville. Tried it mm-hmm. for the first time, Nashville hot chicken. And I've been a fan ever since. Do you have a recipe for Nashville hot chicken? Do you like hot?
Yeah, I do like hot. And yes, there is something in there. And you know, Cayman's pretty much the key to how much heat you got. That's your pepper that makes hot chicken hot. And
what is it?
What did I say?
Cayenne, you mean?
Cayenne, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and it's. I was just thinking about Randy Houser because this week last week he had a record that went number one. So he sent Hattie B's hot chicken, which is here in town, unbelievable. Yeah, and it's like cayenne sent you to the moon. their mild chicken will set you free. So yeah, Nashville hot chicken's a big deal.
So have you had food products out before?
No, I haven't really.
Besides wine, of course.
Yeah. We've been making wine for, well, we've been had grapes in the ground for about 15 years now. So our winery's been open about 10 years.
Looking at the TV show, Stakeout, is that mm-hmm. are you going to do some more of those?
I'm not going to do Stakeout again, but I'm actually in the process of developing another food TV show. So. I think I kind of did what I wanted to with the steak thing, and I think we could probably go to some more steakhouses. But you know, I came away from that going, okay, I think we get the message here. Maybe there's something a little deeper, and I have something that's in development right now it's food and music, and I think it'll be real fun. Yeah.
So, talking steak, though, do you have a summary of, like, what's the perfect steak?
Well, I think the thing that most people who love to cook their own steaks, the thing that I came away with is, A, you can't get the level of steak they have at great steakhouses in your grocery store. you know, they wet and dry age all those steaks, but they start with prime beef, and there is a difference between grade A and prime. And so their beef is really good when they start. And then some of these steakhouses were dry aging, which, if people don't know, basically you hang up a big slab of beef and it molds and all the enzymes break down. And it's real expensive in those steakhouses. You go, God, this is an expensive steak. And the reason is they have to cut all that mold off and everything. So you only, you know, you get half of the meat that you start out with if you're that restaurant. But the meat that's left is so flavorful and tasty. And that's really the difference is what you start with. And the real... the big takeaway for cooking is I think most people are real into marinating their own steaks and whatever and all that at home. And none of these great steak chefs marinated anything. You know, it was all about having a great piece of meat. And again, you're not going to dry age at home, but if you do buy a great steak, what looks to be a great steak at your local grocery store, leave it in your meat drawer for a couple of days. And just sitting there and those enzymes breaking down for a couple of days will make a huge difference. And also, if you do come home and cook it, don't make sure it's not cold. I mean, leave it out on your counter covered up for at least 30, 45 minutes. Just let it get room temperature. Those simple things make a lot of difference. And then salt and pepper is what all these great chefs do. They just salt and pepper their shakes, put a good, you know, glaze on it, cook it the right temperature that you want, But then the sauce that they put on top is what great chefs are all about. And they make these awesome, you know, sauces, and they boil down wine and lots of great ingredients to make these reduction, you know, sauces that they pour on top of their steaks. And that's what the chefs take great pride in, is what their sauce tastes like and why it's different from the next guy.
Which is your favorite cut of steak?
You know, it depends on what day it is. It's kind of like wine. For instance, if I'm surfing turfing, I'll probably eat a fillet, and that's probably the only time. My wife and I had a couple of nice fillets, and we got some huge prawns, you know, big jumbo shrimps the other night, and cooked them and threw some bell peppers on the grill with them. I just had a great surf and turf with a little broccoli on the side. Great meal. But if I'm just going to eat a steak, really going for it, I'll either eat a strip or a ribeye, bone-in ribeye, for enough flavor there. And I like some marbling. You know, you got some fat in that meat. I might cut some of it away, maybe, but that's where flavor is at. You know, when you're looking at your steak in the grocery store, you want some white in that meat if you really want all the flavor.
Well, you obviously, I can envision how you're cooking at home in the kitchen. When you're on the road, do you get a chance to do any real cooking, or what's your average food day like? And I'm sure Vegas is different than being on tour, but is there a typical day on the road in food?
It's funny. When we toured, we had grills under every bus. And in the afternoons, everybody had charcoals going. So one of my favorite tours was we co-headlined one year with ZZ Top. And Billy Gibbons was the guacamole guy. The lead guitar player with the beard, he was great. So we would have basically fajitas, and we would find whatever great steaks we could, strip or, you know, sometimes better cuts of meat and our chickens or whatever. But every day we had tamales going, and Billy'd make the guacamole, and there'd always be fajita meat going on the grill somewhere. So you could just wander around through the buses and get a pretty good meal.
That's the tailgate party I want to go to. Billy Gibbons and Kicks and Ronnie, and just all sorts of probably music in the background too.
Absolutely. Somebody's got a guitar going.
So, yeah, tailgate parties. Are you a tailgater?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, football tailgater. And I always defend these songs. You know, when people start putting down Bro Country and all the songs about tailgates and bonfires, that's how I grew up. And again, we weren't just burning wood and banging on guitars. We were cooking at the same time. So, it's still fun. Love tailgating before a football game. That's just the way you get your energy going.
So what would be on your tailgate menu, and what would be on your tailgate playlist?
Well, on my menu, I'm not a complicated tailgater. You know, I don't want to get into a bunch of difficult cooking. So whatever's easy, you know, kielbasa and sausages obviously come to mind. Bratwurst are awesome. Doing festivals up north in Wisconsin and whatever, it's funny, my son and I one day, we got on our bicycles and there were bratwurst stands. We saw like five different ones coming into this one festival we were playing at, and I carried bicycles under the bus. Me and him went riding with backpacks, and we got one of every different kind and came back and tested them all out, and I still order bratwurst from that place. So I think tailgating, again, should be fun and easy, and the cook shouldn't have to work too hard. Like hamburgers, I think, are kind of a pain, because if I'm cooking hamburgers, I'm putting cheese and onions and jalapenos and stuff in them. And it's okay to wrap something in bacon and throw it on there if you want something different. But that's just my personal thing. I don't want to work too hard if I'm tailgating, because something's going to get screwed up. And music, you know, I like to rock. But there's some fun mainstays. I got to have some Steve Miller, stuff like that going in the background.
That sounds awesome. You also cook with some wild game. I noticed, I saw one of your posts somewhere, were doing something. Is that your own stuff you've brought home?
Yeah, and I've learned a lot from, I've learned a lot from cooks out there in the wild. I fish in Alaska every year, and we do what are called, shore lunches, to where basically they'll either dig a hole in the ground, or sometime they leave big kettle pots in the woods where we can go find them. And we'll cook, you know, catch fresh salmon and go back there, and they'll bring enough ingredients, butters and lemons and, you know, a few spices and, you know, have some rosemary and thyme, some stuff like that that you can just dump on. Brown sugar is great on fish, something people don't know. And mayonnaise, which I know sounds crazy, probably the best natural oil that you can cook fish with. If you're going to just, like, cook a shore lunch or something like that with trout or salmon and just put mayonnaise all over it, and it's just a great oil, and it's easy to travel with if you're traveling in the wild. And then on the grill, I'm a big duck hunter and deer hunter, so love all kinds of wild game, and there's a lot of different ways to cook it, and a lot of that stuff will be in the book.
Yeah, I was going to say is that I saw duck gumbo on the little write-up here. That's exciting. That's a different kind of cookbook, and it's really something exciting to look forward to. Is it written out already? Is it completed? And then
We're pretty much done with it.
What was that process like?
Well, it was really fun. Donna Britt, who produced my radio show, The Countdown, for a number of years, she's out, and she had her own cooking shows out west, and she's back in Oregon now. And when I was approached with doing this, it was fun because I've been working on a book, just stories about my life and, you know, things that had influenced me and whatever, which I thought was semi-interesting is the reason it hadn't come out yet, because it wasn't real interesting to me. And anyway, when I was approached after the steak show about maybe doing a cookbook, I thought, well, maybe it'd be fun to put all these stories, because so many of them revolve around food and how I grew up and that kind of thing. So Donna was the perfect person. She's a good writer and very organized, and I called her up and said, hey, you want to help me put all this stuff together? And she said, yeah, and she's a good cook. So she was the perfect person to help organize the recipes and get some great pictures. And so I think the book will be really fun. It'll have some good pictures, hopefully some things that I grew up learning that'll matter, and a lot of fun cooking stuff that I think people who already like doing outdoor cooking might get some new ideas, and people that may be intimidated by cooking might read this book and go, God, I can do this. That's what I really hope.
Well, I look forward to seeing, like, the stories in between, too, because that's, like I mentioned in the Pat Conroy book, I love the personal anecdotes around some of the food recipes and the food stories. And from what you're telling me, it sounds like you might have a little bit of that in there, too, which would be really cool.
Well, good. I hope so.
All right, some quick questions, and then I'll let you run here. Kind of almost rapid fire. You can give me as much or as little as you want. The best barbecue out there in the United States.
The best barbecue. I'm a big rendezvous fan in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't think you can go wrong if you don't know much about barbecue. We got a place called Martin's here. I would say it rivals anything I've ever had anywhere. It's for something that's different, not your traditional barbecue. And they've got, brisket tacos and a lot of different stuff. But Martin's is awesome. You ask anybody in Nashville where the best barbecue is, most of them will say Martin's.
I would, and Rendezvous is the top of my list, too, so I'll have to try Martin's.
Yeah.
Favorite cheese?
Favorite cheese?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's a good one. And, again, depends on what you're eating. That's kind of like wine. I mean, if I'm on lettuce, it's blue cheese. But I love like white sharp cheddar cheese. If I'm just coming in the afternoons and putting something on a cracker and having a cold drink at the end of the day.
Best place to get a hot dog.
Well, that would be a baseball park, probably Wrigley Field. Actually, I know my producer's in there looking at me right now, because Dodger dogs are. I've heard of Dodger dogs all my life, and first Dodgers game I went to, I had to get one, and they actually are all beef, and they taste really good.
All right, so how do you like your steak?
I like my steak medium rare. I think anything past medium, you're wasting it.
Your favorite chef, either TV, home, or restaurant?
Ooh, I got to go with Chef Sitchell at Galatoire's in New Orleans.
And finally, your favorite, I'd say, country song.
My favorite country song, Hank Williams, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Kix Brooks, American Country Countdown, and with a new book coming out, Cooking It with Kix, The Art of Celebrating the Fun of Outdoor Cooking. August 30th is the set date.
It, And it's not Hank Williams. It's George Jones. He stopped loving her today. But I was thinking, I can't help it if I'm still in love with you, Hank Williams.
Okay.
But that, you know, that was probably my favorite artist and my favorite song altogether.
I should have caught that, right? Being a fellow disc jockey. And of course, the book, of course, American Country Countdown every weekend. You've been doing that since 2006?
Yeah, I know. Long time.
We're getting up to it. So this is the 10-year anniversary.
It is. God, I can't even believe that.
Listen,
I can't believe you guys would let me talk on the radio that long.
Well, we enjoy it. We love we love hearing all the anecdotes, and I can't wait to see the book and get more from you down the road. Hicks Brooks, thank you, buddy.
Wow, Bill, thank you.
So there you go. Hicks Brooks, episode 2 of the Nash Country Cooks podcast. And one thing I would love to request of you is, if you could, if you like what we're doing, please go in and make a review and a comment and subscribe via iTunes. It really helps share the show in the iTunes ecosystem. It would help us a lot. And as a little incentive, I'm giving away copies of the ACM Awards Now That's What I Call Country Music CD. There's like a double disc with some of the greatest country songs of all time. While I got a handful of copies, I will give them away to the first handful of people that comment on iTunes over the next couple of weeks. So just as an extra bonus. And there'll be different stuff in the future. So whenever you're listening to this, please go in, rate, comment, and of course, subscribe. And I'm Bill West, and you can find me anytime at barbecuetricks.com or here at the radio station website, NashFM969.com. Oh, by the way, if you are interested, I as well am working on a book on barbecue out very soon, but I do have, in the meantime, a free book waiting for you to download. That's at barbecuetricks.com, and it'll pop right up. More next week, we'll chat with Kimberly Schlattman of Little Big Town on her endeavors in cooking and country cooking, to be specific. I'm going to leave you with some famous last words today. Oh, this is a good one from the legendary Nash icon Dolly Parton, who once said, quote, "My weaknesses have always been food and men," in that order.